This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. On Tuesday this week, the Sound of Music took center stage at the St. Louis County Justice Center. It was an unusual performance for the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra. Two performers took their place before an audience of women in khaki and orange jumpsuits. The musicians played pieces from Austrian composer Fritz Kreisler. It was not a typical concert, and it actually represented an opening act of sorts for a new music education program called Melodies of Hope. St. Louis Public Radio Arts and Culture Senior Reporter Jeremy Goodwin was at that performance, and he joins us now. Jeremy, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Elaine. I'm glad to be here.
Along with us on the line is one of the organizers of that program, music therapist Dustin Polite-Bender. Dustin, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, Dustin, thank you for joining us. Let's hear a little bit about this program, Melodies of Hope. It's not the first you've led for people who are incarcerated, and I understand you've led music therapy courses in other prisons. What is it that you hope to share with the people in the St. Louis County Jail, and how would you do that?
So it really, it's blending two intentions with music. So it's music education in addition to music therapy. So we're really hoping to give them those musical skills, which is what Suzuki Harmony and Pianos for People are really stepping in to do. But then as music therapists, we will be stepping in to help with, pairing that music with skills like, coping skills, emotion regulation, and music relaxation to really help make that be something they can take with them as they reintegrate with society.
Mm-hmm. And students at Maryville University, I understand, are involved?
Yes. So at Maryville University, our students have to go through various different clinical settings. And so two students have been selected to kind of lead this charge and pair with these music educators to make more of a cohesive plan for mm-hmm. them. So they'll be doing things like music relaxation, having those conversations of how we use music therapeutically, and then kind of passing things off for the music education and kind of going back and forth throughout that lesson.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jeremy, in your recent story about this, you note that music programs for incarcerated people are not common.
Mm-hmm.
What did it take to bring the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra to the jail this week?
Yeah, you hear about this sort of thing and you might assume that it came from years of planning of a bunch of academics around a table submitting proposals and grants or whatnot, but not at all. This happened very quickly and it started with the people incarcerated at the jail. Justice Services Director Kito J. Best said to me that in just his normal course of conversations with people there, someone said, hey, can we get a music program here? I think this is last year. And he said, sounds good, but I don't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. So he picked up the phone and called St. Louis Symphony Orchestra, who then were the party that said, oh, let's bring Pianos for People into this. Let's bring Suzuki Harmony STL into this, and became the sort of broker of had the Rolodex and the know-how to assemble a team to execute this.
Mm-hmm. And one of the objectives is to figure out how to do programs like this, right?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, as you know, it's 10 people, for all the enthusiasm and hoopla the other day, there's 10 people who are going to get to do this, 5 residents of the men's jail and 5 of the women's jail.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is to do this for a few months, see how it goes, and then at that point, look at expanding it in some way,
mm-hmm.
whether it's to allow more people or more instruments to be offered. Someone involved in this said to me, can you imagine a day when we have a string quartet, all of people who are incarcerated here?
Right.
And wouldn't that be a lovely thing?
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is funding. And there is a donation aspect to this. Pianos for People has donated 5 pianos. People in these organizations have been contributing their expertise and their time to get this off the ground. But the jail is paid. buying violins and paying for instructors out of its typical program funds, which come from the commissary. So while none of the participants are getting a bill for this, collectively speaking, the men and women at the jail are paying for this program. But, you know, Suzuki Harmony STL is an organization that specializes in bringing music to children who wouldn't otherwise have access to it. It's not like they're sitting back charging top dollar for private lessons, but that's not a donation, just to say.
Right. Now, Dustin, you own your own private music therapy practice, and you also teach music therapy to undergrads at Maryville University. And we've already talked about students being part of that and leading music therapy exercises for incarcerated women. Can you talk with us a bit about how you are approaching this? And in particular, what is some of the guidance that you have offered to your students about bringing music to a space like a jail?
Absolutely. So whenever you really get down to it, you know, the clients that I see at my practice, Positive Note Music Therapy, is, you know, it's very similar of we're all human. We're all struggling with these mental health issues. You know, they have very specific, you know, concerns of like, you know, this is a very sterile environment. We're coming into these very bright fluorescent lights and white walls and all of these things. You know, you see everyone cooped up in their cells, and they need that chance to kind of break out of that, even for a moment with music. So a lot of what I kind of advise them is to treat them like any other client that we have, first of all, and work on specifically kind of giving them that outlet through things like, you know, we can do visualization through relaxation and music. We can really help them express themselves in a lot of ways, even therapeutic songwriting and so forth, and just see how we can support them and really break it down into what is their biggest problems and where they can grow in this area.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jeremy, we started the conversation by hearing some of Tuesday's performance. Could you describe what that scene was like, and what did it feel like to be part of that audience?
Yeah, it was a large open space, two levels. It's a women's residence at the county jail. On the second floor were rooms, looked to be the rooms where the women are confined. Ringing the first floor were shower stalls, rooms for visitation. And in the middle, about 100 or more women in orange jumpsuits, some in khaki jumpsuits, sitting in rows of chairs, focusing very intently on everything that was happening.
Mm-hmm. And you had a chance to speak with some of the women in the audience, and they gave the performance a great review. Mm-hmm. Among them, there was one who did talk about what it is like to be away from family, from friends, and the way that this music sort of gave her a different space. Is that the feeling also that you were getting as you were observing how people were interacting with one another?
Yeah, it was a very upbeat scene on that particular day. The idea is less to say, let's have really well-trained musicians come out of this who are going to maybe become professional musicians. It's not like that. But it's, if I have some skill with piano, pianos for people after release wants to connect some of those people with places where they can continue playing piano. So this is a new sort of positive habit in their lifestyle that they can continue to help, you know, reintegrate into society in a positive way. These kinds of programs, it's not about the art necessarily. I got to visit the women's prison in Vandalia a couple years ago, and they were working with Prison Performing Arts, who do a lot of drama in the jails and prisons. And what they said to me was, in the context of this class, they are able to interact like full human beings in a way that is not allowed in the rest of their day or in the rest of their lives. They can hug each other. They can break into song. They can dance. Things that are either not allowed or certainly tightly regulated and can be taken away elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So a lot of this is the arts creating a space for people to relate
in a
way they
desperately
need
to, and
typical protocols don't allow for.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dustin, there was a point that was made by one of the people who spoke with Jeremy about music being more than just a source of hope or a distraction. What does that mean to you as a music therapist and equipping people to deal with life wherever they happen to be?
Absolutely. So we talked a lot about the term neuroplasticity. So working to really fundamentally rewire our habits and different things in the brain structurally. So all of those things that we need, whether we're going through rehab, unlearning maladaptive coping mechanisms, or even learning new skills, it really takes all of those things that music offers. So higher dopamine levels, lowering stress. You know, we have all of those connections going on, and we can really harness that to kind of stop what caused them to be here and then give them this replacement habit, like we were saying, of music. You know, whenever I feel stressed out, I have this outlet that I can offer. And as we're doing that with the music, we're really getting to those parts of the brain that, you know, we typically overthink, or we have done something so long that that's our go-to.
And to make sure that we are not speaking for other people, let's hear from one of the folks, Jeremy, that you spoke with on Tuesday.
It's time to keep us busy while we're in here. And that way we can teach our kids when we get out on how to do it. And it gives us close hope. Being here isn't easy being away from our families. It makes it really hard, especially with the hard days. And by giving us hope, we'd be able to go by faster. Think of our family, teaching our family, showing them how we changed. And give us hope for a new life and not go back to the old life that we did.
And that was Ashley Lazowski speaking Tuesday after a performance of classical music at the St. Louis County Justice Center. Dustin, for your part, this is a pilot. Very quickly, what will indicate that this effort is something worth continuing to keep going with?
I think especially just, feedback from the residents there. You know, I think there is a very obvious shift whenever they're given these types of outlets and, you know, structured, healthy, therapeutic options for them to do. Mm-hmm. And so just seeing them engage in what we're doing and, you know, some of those positive things will roll over and generalize to other parts of their daily life.
Mm-hmm. Dustin Polite-Bender is a music therapist and organizer of the Melodies of Hope program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Jeremy Goodwin is St. Louis Public Radio's arts and culture senior reporter. You can read his coverage of the Melodies of Hope program on our website at stlpr.org. And let's go out today by listening to a bit more of that performance from Tuesday from St. Louis Symphony Orchestra violinist Jessica Chen Helwig and pianist Peter Henderson playing a piece by composer Fritz Kreisler.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.